Hello, welcome to Movie Humpers. My name is Bob Shum.
Hi, I'm Angela.
This sounds your maybe dogs, and this month, it is noir month. We're calling it the left-hand endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Movies dedicated to, discussions dedicated to classic film noir under that Hays Code, though not all are. The foreign ones are not under the Hays Code, but most of what we're talking about is.
And this, in the foreign ones, sometimes there's boobies.
Well, we got a little nip. We got a little nip in one of the foreign ones this month, which is really exciting, real thrilling when we saw that.
Sort of shocking when you see it.
But today's movie is one, you know, you had mentioned during Murder My Sweet how what are bad noirs, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, of course they made bad noirs, but we're watching the cream rise to the top over time.
Absolutely.
I'm, you know, when I'm scouring recommendation lists, they're not telling me what the shittiest ones are.
For sure.
Apparently Ronald Reagan was in some really shitty noir back in the day.
I'm definitely okay skipping those.
but yeah, this is one movie that I really hadn't heard of until plotting this and reading about what some good choices would be this month. And this one is kind of a deep cut one to some degree. I think everyone knows about, you know, The Big Sleep, Maltese Falcon, Sunset Boulevard. Those are kind of the bigger ones. But they don't talk about the setup very much. And this movie is very interesting, but a lot of it was, we're talking about the movie The Setup, directed by Robert Wise. Now, Robert Wise is an interesting guy, a very broad range of movies he's made. Looking him up, he is the director of the 61 West Side Story.
Oh!
He directed The Sound of Music. He was the editor for Citizen Kane. He directed The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, wow.
Remember that movie, The Haunting, we watched back on... We didn't talk about it for the show, but we talked about The Haunting from 1963.
Yeah.
That's his movie.
Ooh.
And Star Trek, the first Star Trek, the motion picture, which isn't actually very well regarded. It's like after the first one where that series seemed to really get going. But yeah, Robert Wise, he's kind of been all over the place. It's just a drop in the bucket of all the shit he's done over the years. And this movie, very loosely based on a poem of the same name by a guy named Joseph Moncure March. They bought the rights to the poem, but they changed so much shit that it's one of those things where, because the nature of the poem feels so different thematically, that you just really, while it is like the skeleton of it, you really got to look at him as two very different things, because apparently the poem, the main character is a black boxer, and the themes of the show and the reason why people kind of attack him have to do with race relations. The actual original poem is about race relations, and we do have black actors in this movie. One of the rare times this month where we see black actors and they're not singing a song or doing labor. But well,
the young star is a black man in this.
Yeah,
movie.
He is considered the bigger star there.
He's the main eventer in this movie.
You're talking about the character of Luther Hawkins, yes, played by James Edwards, and he gets some nice dialogue and he gets some good moments.
He does.
He's a good man, but I'll take him. I can feel it. Yeah, Gus, the tip's all set. I get a main goal in Philadelphia on the 15th. After that, New York. Then I want to crack at the title.
So that much is refreshing. But when you know about the original poem where it was centered around a black boxer, also apparently there wasn't a happy marriage. Apparently the character in the poem wasn't as nice to women, whereas this guy's very loyal to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really becomes a completely different story. But the difference being, with some differences other than the races, that in the poem, the boxer gets beat to death. Like, he actually gets killed at the end of it. The setup is kind of similar.
It's interesting because it does sound like it would be more of a inspired by this poem. Because when you think about it, yes, our main character is extremely loyal to his wife. The only problems they're having in their marriage are just because she's tired of seeing him get the shit beat out of him. The last time he fought, he didn't know who she was for 2 hours. He was so fucked in the head. But, you know, you talk about, we have like the young black main eventer in this who has some really good dialogue. We also have a womanizer dude who is talking about women calling him mouse.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a mouse outside. I've never heard that. There was some slangy stuff in this that I hadn't heard before. There may be some
separate embodiments of original themes.
Yeah.
But without the racial core of the element, the movie is different.
Absolutely different.
And Wise stated that at the time, RKO didn't have any what qualified as big stars who were black at the time. And under RKO's qualifications, RKO owned by Howard Hughes at this time. But I wouldn't say, I mean, you know, we're not of the time, but like Robert Ryan as Bill Stoker Thompson was great, mm-hmm. but like, I don't think he's any more recognized. Like, he didn't seem like when the dust has settled, a lot of these guys in this movie, while great character actors, no one here seemed like a big star, which is kind of a part of the charm of the movie.
This was part of the time when you had folks on contract.
Yeah.
Right? So that's really what they were saying, is that they had this dude on contract, so they needed to put him in a movie.
Specifically guys that they felt like were big enough to be on contract, sure. And everyone else is just getting a payday.
Yeah, and they just didn't have a black leading man on contract.
Yeah. But we did have some James Edwards, Luther Hawkins' character. There's some great monologues by the boxers, and his is one of them. And so while I was finding his... seeing him in the movie very refreshing, then one of the bookies comes up and he's like, okay, boy. And it's like calling a black man a boy. Ugh, you know.
I know.
This movie represents the seedy side of boxing, like low level boxing. The entire environment of this movie kind of takes place on this corner between Stoker and his wife. They live in a hotel across from the venue.
They're staying there for this show. They don't live there.
But everything is just kind of in this environment here. And this movie really, it has a lot of pullback shots and embodies the environment, the seediness of it. More so than, I'm thinking of only in They Live by Night do we get shots that are pulled back. Mm. Nicholas Ray even has like an early helicopter shot overhead at the close to the beginning. Yeah. But the camera's like so shaky because they weren't doing a lot of those at the time. There's nothing steady in them. But other than that, this one does seem to actually pull back more than They Live by Night.
It does. There's a lot of images. The real quick setup is that...
it is the setup.
The setup is the manager of our main character... and he's got this little like sidekick guy, and they usually are in this dude's corner, right? Like, it's his manager. And we find out very quickly that he has made a deal with the other kid's manager that his guy's supposed to fight. And it's like a young kid and this like veteran fighter, right? And our veteran has been losing and losing and losing. And the manager decides to make a deal for $50. He says his guy's going to throw it. Well, the little guy says...
what about Stoker?
What about him?
Oh, he's all set, ain't he? You told him, didn't you?
Why cut him in?
I don't like a tiny. Stoker can still punch. If anything goes wrong, little boy's gonna blow his top.
Don't be a meathead. Nelson will butcher him. It's 100-1.
That's just it. There's always the one. I tell you, you gotta tell Stoker.
Well, you better tell him. And tiny. He says, I don't want to tell him because I don't want to cut him in. Tiny's the big guy. Yeah, Tiny's the manager. I don't know what the little guy's name is, but he's like a little round Andy Rooney looking dude. Mickey Rooney?
Yeah, something like that. One of those Roonies. They look really scuzzy.
They look so scuzzy. Like,
This movie really captures the scuzz, because a lot of noirs, everyone's kind of swagging. Everyone's like pretending mm-hmm. like they're not all going to die of lung cancer in 5 years.
These dudes are sweaty.
They are gross.
Don't they look, to me, honestly, these two guys in particular look like they are Popeye villains come to life.
Yeah.
They look like cartoon men.
They are. They are. Like, it's almost the most noir we'll ever see. Like, it feels like noir concentrate, but the way the camera pulls back and fills in the environment around it,
mm-hmm.
and does it in a way that's better than anything we've seen so far this month. So it does that perfect thing where it feels so incredibly noir while still being so visually different than everything else we're seeing.
Yeah, and you do get, like you said, these crazy pull-out shots, but then you get these really close shots of, like, these men's faces when they're making this deal. You know, it's like, it comes down from, you've seen this whole room. I love the small character work and the scene work that these, like, background actors are doing. The guy, Tiny, walks through this, like, diner where he's meeting this man to get the money for the setup. And you walk past this table of these very normal looking people drinking. And there's this girl with, like, curly hair, like, laughing. But it doesn't look put on. It looks as though they could have just been like, hey, guys, just do your thing. We're going to film real quick. So natural. And not everybody, I appreciate this. And I feel like you get this more in, like, nowadays, like, indie movies, but not everyone is gorgeous in this, you know? Mm. And I actually really appreciate, like, regular people.
Yeah.
And so they set it up, and basically, the Tiny's a big liar across the board. He tells the other manager, yeah, my guy's gonna throw it, I promise. Then he gets $50. He goes and tells his little sidekick guy, oh, I only got 30. So he gives him 5. So he's now pocketed $45. And his reason for not telling his boxer that he's going to throw the fight is that he doesn't want to cut him in. And the little guy is like, dude, you are making a mistake. You have to tell him that he's supposed to fold. And so they said the deal is that he's supposed to go through 2 rounds and then take a dive on the third. But meanwhile, across the street, he's in the hotel room with his wife, and she is so upset and doesn't want him to fight. And he's like, baby, I can do it. I'm going to win tonight. Mm. I'm going to prove to you that I've still got it. He is still got this bit of, like, wide-eyed young man in him, even though you can tell he's 35, yeah, which is an old man in this, sure, in this game at the time. Like, they've got their debuting guy is wearing a high school robe.
Yeah.
In this show. Like, that's how young these dudes are. The youngest is still in high school. This guy is considered, like, a grandpa in this field. But
also, Stoker loses a lot.
He loses all the time. So. And you know, like we said, he got the shit beat out of him so bad he couldn't remember her last week. And she really doesn't want him to go. And she tells him she's not going to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
And she keeps playing with her wedding ring. And she never said to him, if you don't stop fighting, I'm going to leave you. But she did say to him, maybe you can still take the fighting, but I can't. You get this idea that she might be halfway out the door.
When they're making this deal, they use this term that's real interesting, in which they are so confident that this is going to work out. They say,
Nelson the Carry, your guy, 2 heats. Any time after that, Stoker can go down for the count.
Eggs and a coffee.
Eggs and coffee.
Eggs and a coffee.
They say eggs and the coffee.
Eggs and a coffee.
Which means, like, smooth sailing, going to go really well. And I look that up, and
it sounds disgusting and like a problem.
Yeah. What it may be based on is a Scandinavian way of making coffee, in which you mix your grounds with egg, and then you boil them, and then you strain it, and it's supposed to have a very richer texture to your coffee.
You get, like, protein in there.
That's the most I could, because I saw the definition of the old slang, and it just says smooth sailing, going really well. That's what that means.
Yeah, maybe it's, like, more solid. Like, yeah. It's stronger, it's definite. That's really weird. Yeah, eggs and coffee is very weird.
Eggs and the coffee.
Eggs and the coffee.
Maybe that'll be our closeout for this episode.
Okay.
But and also, I discovered another term called afternoon farmer, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Which is basically someone who keeps themselves busy with anything but proper work. And that's what I am. I'm an afternoon farmer. They would have called me that back then.
Kind of love it.
It would have been the definition of afternoon farmer. Is me being so busy doing everything but anything that actually makes money.
So, the wonderful pullback shots, and I know there's quite a few, but what really is great is by the time he leaves, and he leaves her this ticket, and she says she's not coming, he goes into the locker room, right? So it's like basically been divided. Like, you've got these guys who all seem to kind of know each other, familiar with each other, and then all the dudes they're fighting, who they probably also know as well, but they're in another place. So they don't, you're not in the same locker room if you're going to have a match, yeah. Right? So we're seeing like this one side of the night. And you've got your guy in there who's like bandaging up people. You've got guys like wrapping people's hands. It's such a small space. It's so interesting. But you keep seeing him look out the window across the square to the hotel room to see if she's turned off the light yet. Like, is she on the way? And she keeps looking out the window towards the building thinking, am I going to go or not? And it's just so interesting because, you know, he's having these different interactions and conversations. You've got like your womanizing guy. You've got like your guy who's been doing this so long and is still like, oh, I could still be the champ. I could still be the champ. Guys have lost a million times and then won. But he's just repeating himself and talking crazy. And the doctor looks at him ahead of time. And you kind of get the feeling that he's probably not really good to fight.
No.
But they let him.
Yeah.
And he gets his shit kicked out of him.
He cites this guy that lost, and then became a middleweight champion.
After his fight, when they wake him up, he thinks he's that guy.
I love Audrey Totter. She's great in this movie because she's a very pretty lady.
Yes.
But she seems a little older, right? She seems a little, like, she's not like knockout stunner, but she's still a beautiful woman.
And what lends to that is she does not smile until a good halfway through the movie because she's so upset.
When she's at a carnival and looking at all the carnival games. I love, she doesn't go to the boxing show. Like, all of her scenes is essentially she's like, I'm going out having some me time out on the town.
But everything keeps reminding her.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out onto the pier and I'm going to see all this. She's standing over an overpass and she rips her ticket so you know she's never going to go. And it's just great. We get these overhead shots, these pullback shots of the cities and the streets. I mean, they might be sets, a lot of it, but
sure, but
it all looks very good. Mm-hmm. And she goes up and she sees like a little boxer man and a carnival thing. And
that like kind of upsets her.
Just those casual scenes. I loved those. Like just her going about the city and just contemplating, and she doesn't have to say a word, you know.
Oh yeah,
you know what's churning in her head.
And there's this guy in like a zoot suit situation with the worldwide he's tie like that comes up at one time, and he's like,
"Welcome. Hey, you like dancing? Want a cigarette? You know, you look like you like dancing."
Coming back for more.
Bet you do a mean Roomba.
Beat it.
Oh,
I said beat it.
And she hears is like two before her husband's, but she doesn't know the order because everything's been switched around.
So she's worried he's gotten beat to death, and then they say the name.
By a knockout, Tommy Joyce stops Gunboat Johnson in the second round. Now let me tell you exactly what happened in that round.
What's the matter, Lane? Too rough for you?
Must have known that last left hook of his had Gunboat Groggy at the end of round one, so he just bored in, throwing everything he had.
Too much for you, honey.
Yeah.
Because they don't know.
You're just a fragile female.
Like every single person, like there's a girl at the carnival who gets her skirt blown up. Like everyone has such distinct moments.
Mm.
And then also like in the locker room, you know, we talked about our guy who's like the main event star guy. But before that, you've got the rookie kid who's in high school is puking in the back. You've got the kid who is carrying a Bible around, not because he believes in God, but because he's playing the odds in every way he can. You know, it's just so interesting. The womanizer guy.
It's a very rich movie in terms of character.
Absolutely.
And you chew on it. And it kind of embodies almost like the stereotypical aspects of noir, but mm-hmm. it feels so perfect in contrast to the vivid world that they're all in.
Oh, absolutely.
And you look going out into the audience and seeing how there's different people. Like there's a blind man who's getting like the matches spoken to him.
You ought to see how he's working on his middle. Oh, another in the gut.
The ref's going to stop him.
Let him fight.
No, wait. He's going to let him go.
There's an older couple where the lady's more into the violence than the husband.
She was me.
No, quit stalling. Let them go, action!
Yeah, that's you at a wrestling
the
show.
The guy, the big fat guy who
loves his
every
hot dogs.
Single time. No, every single time he's eating something different. It was a hot dog, a hamburger, a popcorn. He had a beer at one point. Every time you saw him, he was eating a different food.
Yeah, yeah.
He had an ice cream bar. Like, truly. It was kind of amazing.
And then we have this gangster guy played by Alan Baxter. His name
is the little boy.
They call him Little Boy.
And his girl's name is Bunny.
So he's the one that benefits from this setup the most.
Oh, yeah, because he's the one who has paid for this kid to win and our guy to take a dive. And the manager warned Tiny at the beginning. That Tiny wasn't making a deal with the manager of this other kid. He was making a deal with Little Boy. And if Little Boy doesn't get what Little Boy wants, he gets real mad.
Well, it's time for Stoker to step up and fight. And he's going against this youngster by the name of Tiger Nelson.
Good name.
And he's the favorite anyway. Everyone's expecting Tiger to get
this win. The blonde star boy.
And I love this. We get a four-round boxing match. Four-round
Yeah, because he makes it through the third because he's supposed to dive and he doesn't.
And it's thrilling as hell. Also, they announced that on Friday is wrestling nights.
Don't forget, Friday night is wrestling night. The Lithuanian Angel against the Mastodon. And for the first time in Paradise City, they will wrestle in a ring filled with fish.
And they're going to wrestle in a ring full of fish?
Of live fish. We would have gone to that show like crazy.
100.
You know, I kind of consider any worked match almost like a pro wrestling match.
Absolutely.
So this match wasn't worked because one guy didn't know it was a setup. The guy who should know the most. But they're going through it and...
But it was really worked because it's a movie and it was excellently done.
Apparently, Robert Ryan, who played Stoker, had experience in college boxing.
You could tell. I mean, these guys knew what they were fucking doing.
Tiger Nelson at one point slings like the boxing backhand. So there's like some little things that seem a little silly. But for the most part, it is successfully set up as this thrilling. Like we were getting into this boxing match. It was like, oh shit, he's got him now. He's got him now. We figured, you know, some bad shit was going to happen at the end to contrast like the heroism that we're going to see in the ring, but we were still kind of enthralled with it.
Absolutely. And he turned people in the crowd. Like there were people who were telling him like, just stay down, just stay down. By the third time he stood up, that little old lady was up like, kill him, Stoker. You know, like everybody turned to be cheering for him by the end. It really was like an underdog story.
And now he's supposed to drop in the third round. And he does not. And the Tiger Nelson guy is like really frustrated. And it fucks him up being so like thrown off that this guy's not throwing the match. That he takes some licks. It starts to become more of an even match. And so the third round bell ends and he sits in the corner. And then that's when they're like, look.
We ain't got much time, so listen. You gotta lay down, Stoker.
Lay down?
Look, it's supposed to be in the bag. There's $20 extra in it for you. Maybe 30.
But I can stop him.
No, you can't, Stoker. You can't. Look, this is Little Boy's fix. Little Boy's. He's paying us to go in a tank.
You know Little Boy if you cross him.
No, you gotta go down, Stoker. You gotta. Go down on the first good punch. Stay down. Take the count. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. 10 seconds.
He's already missed the round. But I guess maybe they can make something if he still loses. But he just decides, like, no, I can take this guy. I can take this guy. And as he gets in there, he really does rattle this kid, starts to get the edge on him, and that's when his managers just take the fuck off, and we don't ever see them again. And he actually does get knocked down twice. I think if you get knocked down one more, that's pretty much a TKO.
Oh, okay.
But he manages to get up, but then he finally, in the fourth round, manages to clock Tiger Nelson real well. Tiger gets a 10 count, and Stoker wins. And, Little Boy, who's got this like little smug little tiny smile sometimes, but That just that simple character who says little to nothing is so distinct and so just like a perfect little noir side bit character.
Like, really, you love it. Felt to me like a 1940s Joker pre-Joker.
He's Joker before he falls into the valley. He's like the Jack Nicholson Joker.
Yeah, like the carrying around a little Tommy gun.
So he goes into the back, and that's when a little boy and his men meet him back there, and he's in a good mood, but, you know, his girl didn't come, and he notices, you can see the empty seat. And he tries to make his case. It's like, look, I didn't know this was supposed to be a setup, but the other guys are gone, and they did tell him to drop after, like, the third round. But little boy's like, we're going to meet you outside. And now, in the poem, the character, who's a different race, gets killed. But in this one, it's interesting how it sets up. He tries to run away, so that's, like, you can see on the image above your head here how he's cornered by the garage. And he manages to kind of, you know, hold his own for a little bit. He is a trained fighter. But they finally get a hold of him, and off screen, he gets his hand shattered by a brick. And that's when Julie Thompson, his wife, runs up.
Okay, so. Go
ahead and tell this part.
Yes. She ended up, you know, having her night to herself, and she got like two bottles of beer and some soup, and she's waiting for him to come home, and she keeps looking out the window. And then she sees him fall out of the alley, and she runs across the alley, and she's cradling him, and she says, I'm so sorry I wasn't there with you. And he says, he tells her he won, and he says, they wanted me to lay down, but I didn't lay down. And then he's like, my hand. And she looks at it, and he says,
Julie, I can't fight no more. I can't fight no more.
I know, Bill, but you won't have to.
I can't fight no more.
You won't have to fight no more, Bill. I'll make it up to you, darling. We'll get that cigar stand you were telling me about, her. Maybe even a piece of that fighter. Oh, it's gonna be all right, Bill. You wait and see.
They crushed it good. That's when we find out it was a brick. He says, got it with a brick. And she's like, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. I'll take care of you. We'll get our little cigar stand, or we'll open a little diner or whatever.
Yeah.
And he says to her, I'm never gonna fight again.
And she's,
but I won tonight. That's what it is. He finally says,
I won tonight. I won.
I won tonight. And she starts crying, and she looks up and she says,
we both won tonight.
We both won.
We both won tonight.
This girl's a cunt.
She's so happy.
Like,
that his fucking hand got crushed, so he never has to go. I get it. I get her.
I get it too, but I wouldn't have said it to him.
Maybe you want to keep that to yourself. But she's just so happy. She's so happy.
Smiling.
He's like, oh, he's ruined.
I'm sorry. I don't care the circumstances. If you are like bleeding out in my lap, I'm not going to be like, gosh, I'm so glad that you can't do the thing you love anymore.
Oh.
I get it, but it was kind of, it was like, I loved it.
This movie.
I loved it, but it was also like, it surprised me.
This movie's so good, and I love what it captures. When he's at first trying to get away from little boy's men, he's trying to make a different exit through the building, and it's these pulled back shots where he's going through the empty little arena and trying to make his way through. Like, you just don't, you're not seeing shots exactly like this very much.
No,
at this time.
And it was so intense. And he's like weaving in and out of the seats that our dog got upset.
Yeah.
Like the tension from the screen of
the
this
dog
man.
Felt the tension.
I mean, he does. Like, he has a thing.
The
he
dog probably thought he was like an
movies.
Animal. The thought he was a tiny animal on the TV.
Okay, fair. But he does also growl at villains in movies.
That's true.
And so he was like, something bad is happening right now.
He does seem to know.
He does. He's very smart.
Well, he doesn't look that smart, but he's smarter than he looks. And that's the movie The Setup by Robert Wise. It's very different than the original poem, but like, I think they could make a new setup now, right? Make this movie, but more like the original poem.
Absolutely.
With the race relation issues, you could do this. And this one, this classic one, would still be great.
Absolutely.
But I really did like this movie, like, quite a bit.
Like, so much.
It's, this movie's actually really fucking good.
Yeah.
We didn't listen to it, but our little DVD copy has, like, a Martin Scorsese commentary on it.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to what he says about it. It doesn't surprise me at all that he gets a lot from this movie. But we're going to judge it. You're going to give 1 through 5. I'm going to give 1 through 5 combined for best out of 10. What do you give it?
5.
You know, I'm at least a 4.5, so...
I was back and forth between a 4.5 and a 5. At least. And honestly, even the bit at the end...
So you could just call it S tier.
I wouldn't say it... I wouldn't change a thing. Yeah, it's just an S tier.
So take a peek at it. Right there between The Night of the Hunter and the... And, the one right under it we'll talk about later this month. But, yeah, The Night of the Hunter, The Last Picture Show... Sunset Boulevard,
yes.
Out of the Past. It's as good
absolutely
a noir as there is. And we highly recommend it. Definitely one that maybe flew under the radar for a lot of more casual movie fans. The Setup by Robert Wise from 1949. Check the show notes for links on other places to find us, including a link to the movie itself. You can find it on Internet Archive, like many of these classic Hays Code era movies. But if you get to that link way later and it doesn't work, well, it worked at the time. So that's the trouble with the links on the internet, I guess, sometimes. But so like, subscribe to the show. We appreciate it. I'm loving the engagement I've been getting a few emails here and there. I've been liking it. Thank you so much. And leave a comment, correction, any fun facts. What's our term we learned today for everything's going smooth sailing? And we'll sign off with that.
Eggs in the coffee.
Eggs in the coffee.